have any crazy story trying to get back in town during the blizzard?
Well, I couldn't land on Sunday, so I actually called our director of football ops and was like, "Hey, I can land in St. Louis and drive up. Is that gonna do we need to be here Monday morning or not?" And they obviously adjusted the schedule. Nice April storm.
Nice.
No golf for a while, right, Robin?
That's right.
It's gonna be tough. Terrible. Yeah, it's gonna be tough.
My game is
rusty. Yeah, I bet.
Aaron, I'm curious, have you watched the Tom versus Time documentary at all, being a guy who wants to play late into your 30s, 40s, and beyond?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of it. I've known Tom for a long time and always respected his game and always look forward to seeing him at various events. Usually the Derby is one where we get to catch up a little bit, but we email periodically throughout the year as well. So, it's fun to have him kind of peel back the veil a little bit. But obviously, his regimen and the way he takes care of himself has kind of been shared a little bit more the last couple of years. There's obviously a big intrigue about how a guy who's 40 can still play at such a high level.
Aaron, how do you think the offense is going to evolve with Joe back, without Jordy, and now with Jimmy here?
Well, it'll be a work in progress. I can tell you that it's fun to go into a meeting with him again. He led the offensive meeting today, and you just forget how much control he has in front of a room. I mean, he is fantastic at speaking in front of a group and clearly getting the message and the goals and the kind of the outlook for the season in a very clear and concise way that the guys can understand, appreciate, and relate to. So it's going to be a lot of fun having him back. I mean, I just smiled walking down the steps into the meeting room this morning as I saw him in the front and thought about the years of speeches and teaching that he gave us. And after sitting through a meeting, nothing's really changed. Joe is still Joe and very engaging up front. You got to be on your toes because he likes calling people out during the meeting, making sure you're paying attention to what's going on. And it's going to be really good for us.
Hey, Aaron, how much input do you want or think you should have in things that happen around here?
Well, I think I know my role and has to play as well as I possibly can at quarterback. There's decisions that are going to be made. From a personal standpoint, that's the toughest part. You're in this business for a long time and you start relationships with your coaches and your players. And as you get older, and I knew this as a young player, if I had the possibility and success to play a long time, I'd probably outlive a lot of close friends in this business. Because the longevity offered to a quarterback is obviously greater than a guy who's banging heads all the time or running all over the field. So that's the toughest part about the whole thing is losing guys over the years, the Jordys, the James Jones, the A.J. Hawks, the John Coons, the Julius Peppers, guys you get close to. Those are team decisions and you just know your role and your responsibility and you try and do that the best you can.
Does not having as much say in that affect how you feel about wanting to be here or your future here in any way?
Well, again, I know my role, and that's to play quarterback the best that I can, and the team is going to try and, put the right guys in place, the right coaches in place, the right players in place, and you just have to trust the process. As we've talked about over the years, this process works, and it has worked for Mike for a number of years. Obviously, that's why he's still here in his 13th season. We've had a lot of success here, and you've got to trust the process.
Have you been able to kind of interact with Jimmy Graham, and if so, what does he offer to your guys' offense this year?
Well, again, it's day one here. It's April 17th, so a lot of that's yet to be seen. Jimmy and I started a relationship at the Pro Bowl and have been friends since then, got to meet him over in Hawaii and just kind of hit it off personality-wise. And, I've kept in touch a little bit over the years. And we joked at the time about wanting to play together at some point. So I was pretty excited with the signing and getting to talk to him. He's just a very talented guy, very smart guy. And I think he's going to be a great addition to the locker room.
Aaron, you mentioned Jordy's departure. Did you have any misgivings about what happened there, one with him departing and two not being consulted about that specifically?
Well, again, like I said, you know, this is a professional environment, but as humans, we have personal connections to people, and obviously, you know, he was one of my closest friends in the locker room for a number of years and played together for a long time and talked about, you know, really finishing his career here and together and making the most of the opportunities. That's the disappointment is when you get close to your teammates and they're you know, not here anymore, and especially when they're not here and they're playing somewhere else. But again, the organization's making decisions that they feel like are in the best interest of our team, and you got to trust the process.
So Aaron, you used the phrase know your role or understand your role. Do you think your role should include being part of a conversation, though, not making a decision, but being included in any sort of conversation, especially one that would entail someone like Jordan?
Well, I don't know if that's a question for myself, really. I think that's, again, they're paying me to play quarterback to the best of my abilities, and their job descriptions are to handle those type of things. So I think you just act accordingly in those situations.
Aaron, I don't know what you want to share publicly, but any talks on the extension and just your thoughts on going forward, things like that?
Well, I think there's interest on both sides in getting some done. They've obviously made a number of statements over the offseason. But you know, again, my focus is here. I have a fantastic agent who's takes care of anything associated with my contract, and you know, there's just nothing to report right now.
Aaron, what was the visit with the Dalai Lama like, and do you have total consciousness on your deathbed?
He's a big hitter, bald, striking, flowing robes. That was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that I'm just very fortunate to be able to have. Not many people get a private audience with His Holiness. But he's a very engaging, funny, interesting, wise man, and I was just very thankful for the 90 minutes we got to spend with him. And then, you know, Starkey is a fantastic organization that does incredible things around the world. They're in like 60 countries, and to be able to be with their people and to really change lives, you know, to put a hearing aid in the ear of a person who's never heard before is an experience you can only really truly feel if you're there. So that was a very special opportunity, and I'm very fortunate to be able to do both of those things.
Aaron, from a pride standpoint, does it matter to you to be the highest-paid player in NFL history? And if it does it matter to you if it's something that's held for a week or a month? Do you want to wait till some more quarterbacks, maybe Matt Ryan, sign before signing, or do you just want a deal done?
It's never been about any of that. It's never been about who's signing when or or what the number is. I was the highest-paid at one point in 2013. And then obviously a number of guys have gotten contracts. It's good for those guys. I'm happy whenever anybody gets paid. You know, it's an opportunity for them and their families and to make an impact with that financial windfall. But again, you know, I paid Dave Dunn to handle my contract, and I'm confident that, you know, we'll have those conversations when we need to.
Aaron, even if that isn't about what it is about for you, when Cousins got his contract done in Minnesota, several players around the league showed their pleasure publicly with how that happened. Is that something you're aware of, that people, players around the league, are going to be paying attention to what happens in this process for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's in any league. You know, when the NBA had that that jump in salary cap a couple years ago, and a lot of you know, kind of fringe all-stars and mid-level players were signing really significant deals. You know, as an athlete, you paid attention to that, and that was all over social media. When Kirk signed his deal, you know, a guaranteed contract, obviously that's good for our sport. You know, if you look at the major sporting industries, you know, we don't have guaranteed contracts in our sport. And obviously we have a larger roster than other leagues, with the NBA having about 15, and obviously Major League Baseball having 25 to 40, and hockey having you know, less than that. You know, there's financial constraints on the team to make that a sweeping referendum, but no, it's I think it's good for our sport. And, you know, I don't know, that's probably going to impact the next CBA negotiations at some point. But right now it seems like there's only a few positions where that type of contract could happen.
That said, because of your stature within this league, do you feel any, even if it's small, responsibility to continue to push that ball forward?
Well, that's a good question. I think that's a conversation to be had down the line with my agent. But, you know, ultimately, like the last time, although there was obviously large financial numbers, I think it was a deal that both myself and the team was happy with. It gave us the ability to do some things. It made my cap number never really go above an unmanageable level. So, you know, obviously, I want to finish my career here. I've said that a number of times, and still have 2 years left on my deal, so we'll see what happens this offseason.
How's your collarbone and the shoulder?
I feel great. I feel great. The offseason's been good, obviously from a travel standpoint, some fun things, but from a workout standpoint, once I got back into it, you know, I felt really good.
Aaron, are you, like you said, you have 2 more years left on the deal. Are you okay playing this year if a deal doesn't get done, just playing on the contract you have, or do you think a deal will get done before the start of the year?
Well, that's the what-if game, Rob. I'm under contract for the next 2 years. Obviously, we'd like to lock something in, I think, at some point. The team has made that, you know, public knowledge that they'd love to do that. I've said many times I'd love to finish my career here. So there's more than mutual interest on both sides.
Aaron, could you explain the significance when you lose a coach you work with every day, like a position coach like Alex, and the transition that is for you, and then the balance between, you know, as close as you were with Jordy, now you have to sort of shift your loyalties, your friendships to the next wave of guys that are on your roster, right?
Well, that's a part of getting older in this league. As I saw when I was a young player following Brett, you know, the age gap becomes significant, more significant every single year as you get older and the younger players are still younger. You know, they're 21, 22 coming in, and I'm, you know, on the way to 35 here. So you have to do more to connect with those guys. And this is what the offseason is all about. It's about cultivating those relationships and finding that chemistry within the locker room with the guys and spending time outside the locker room, whether it's dinners or, you know, trips to Milwaukee or golfing or the Kentucky Derby or things that we've done over the years. To continue to build that team camaraderie, that's what it's all about. I mean, it's tough losing those guys, but again, that's the nature of the business. It's about change, and you have to remember this is a professional environment, and it's going to happen. I mean, I want to play till I'm 40 and beyond. Many of the guys I'm playing with now will be moving on at that point if I'm able to keep playing till then. So it's about again cultivating those relationships with the young guys. Finding what that team chemistry looks like every year because it changes, and looking forward to the season.
The destination Dallas draft series. What has that been like to kind of dabble with that? And you have TV film producing in the future. You like it?
I love playing football, and that's what I'm going to keep doing for a while. But this was a fun opportunity to be a part of a great group of people who are trying to put together a product that doesn't get seen all the time. Kind of lead up to the draft from declaration to draft night and beyond. Getting to know some of the guys through the process has been great. Really enjoyed spending time with Josh Rosen and excited about his future and Derwin James as well. You know, fantastic guys. But it's been, again, you know, I think that's what the way that some of the consumer stuff is going. They want to see kind of behind the scenes stuff, and this project has allowed people to see what these young guys are going through. There's some other projects as well out there that other networks have done that is in the same fashion. And I think it's people want to see it.
Aaron, what's your favorite memory of the draft?
Literal trade, but what did you think of losing Jordy? You get Jimmy Graham. Well, I guess what were your early thoughts when you saw those transactions go down? What might mean?
Yeah, it was about the same day, I think. Right, so yeah. It was bittersweet, obviously, talking to Jordy on a drive to my workout and then finding out later in the day that you know, we were signing Jimmy. Again, you know, you lose a close friend who you've had a lot of success with and gain another guy who you've been friends with, who you really feel like can add a lot to the locker room from a playing perspective, but also a leadership standpoint. So, you know, it's good having him in there. He's been around a couple organizations now. Nikki and add a lot to our locker room.
Aaron, what's your favorite draft memory of your draft experience?
What is what?
What's your favorite memory of your draft experience?
Favorite?
Probably.
I mean, there's a lot. You know, when I was 21 when I got drafted, they gave me a free phone, which at the time was a Razor. If you remember the Razor phone, it was like the coolest thing possible. And I had a 917 number, so I was like, man, I got a New York Razor phone. Like, this is pretty awesome. There's so many things that we did leading up to that in the 2 days before the draft. It was fun to get to know the other five guys who were getting in the green room. Obviously, it's way different than it is now, and I think it's great that there's a night dedicated to the first round. It's also tough on the guys who go and don't get picked. I went through, 4.5 hours of waiting, which it was important for me in the long run. But my favorite memory is obviously hearing my name picked in the green room, getting to get out of there so I could finish cleaning the room, which they'd already started doing, and then shaking Commissioner Tagliabue's hand and knowing I was going to be heading to Green Bay the next day.
Aaron, Mike said at the NFL meetings that he's taking a scrub brush approach to the offense. Have you gotten a feel for what that means in the day you've been here? And is that daunting? Is that exciting to be challenged that way? What do you kind of think of that?
Well, every year there's changes. Some years there's a few changes. And this year, I think with Joe coming back after he's been a couple places and Haas coming in, there's been just more voices who've been other places. So they've been really trying to streamline some of the verbiage, which ultimately will help. It puts a greater strain on guys like myself who've been in the same offense for, 14 years. I'm looking at formations today that we've called five different things now. So it's a good thing ultimately. It's just going to take some time to go through. And today was the first day and wasn't overwhelming. It's just going to be some extra studying, but snow on the ground, the golf courses are closed, and we're home by noon, so I got plenty of time.